Have you heard the word charismatic? Are you one? The title is often used by people who claim to have one of the sign gifts, such as tongues. But guess what? In the biblical sense of the word, each of us is a charismatic. Every Christian has received a unique gift from God to use in serving others and building up the church. In Romans 12, Paul explores this idea, and Stephen takes you there in this lesson called Every Christian is a Charismatic.
You may have heard the phrase, no child left behind. Well, let me tell you, that's not just a political slogan. God came up with that a long time ago. According to Romans chapter 12, no child of God was left behind when God distributed spiritual gifts to his children. Now, throughout the New Testament, there are a total of 19 so-called gifts listed. I don't think that's an exhaustive list. It's probably not comprehensive at all. But as the church developed, it's interesting to note that the list of gifts grew shorter. In fact, the last reference to spiritual gifts is in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and through to verse 11. And only two gifts are given, the gift of serving and the gift of speaking. Now, that's something we ought to keep in mind. Now, we've already looked at Paul's statement here in Romans chapter 12, verse 6, where we're told that all believers have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Every Christian then has received a gift, a spiritual gift, by the grace of God. The word Paul uses here for gifts is the Greek word charisma or charismata, the singular form of charisma. It's been transliterated to give us our words charisma and charismatic. It's used as the title for the charismatic movement for those who speak in tongues. But according to Paul, every Christian has been given a charisma. Now, this might sound strange to you, but every Christian is a charismatic. And that's in the true biblical sense of the word. You actually became a charismatic, so to speak, at your conversion, because that's when the Holy Spirit baptized you into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 tells us that. You might not have done anything because of that, or felt anything when he did that, or said anything unusual at all. But you became gifted by the Spirit at his baptism into the body of Christ, which then occurs, basically, we're describing that moment of salvation. So, all that to say, the word has been distorted by the charismatic community to refer only to what we call those sensational sign gifts, those temporary gifts that authenticated the early apostles as messengers of God. But let me tell you, every spiritual gift is charismatic because every Christian has been given a special charisma, a special gift to use in serving the body of Christ. And that service, by the way, might not be all that sensational every Sunday. It might be mopping the floor of a classroom in the middle of the week to prepare for Sunday. It might be taking a handicapped child to the park as your ministry to people. It might be changing the oil in the church van. It might be fixing a meal for somebody in the body of Christ who's ill. It might be writing a letter of encouragement or teaching a Bible lesson to young people. It's time we started using this word, charisma, correctly. Every Christian is charismatic. Now, what Paul does here is give us a short list of these charismas, these gifts. And the first one here in verse 6 is the gift of prophecy. Now, keep in mind, when Paul wrote this, prophecy was still a means of receiving and communicating revelation from God. And that's because the scriptures were not yet completed. God continued to give revelation through prophecy. Later on, Paul is going to teach over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8, as for prophecies, they will pass away. We prophesy in part, but when the perfect, or you could translate that, the complete comes, the partial, that is revelation through prophecy, will pass away. Now, what is this perfect? What is this complete that he's referring to here? Well, it's the same word used in James chapter 1, verse 25, to describe the Scriptures. James calls the Bible the perfect law of liberty, the complete law of liberty. It's a description of the Bible. New revelation from God and that gift of prophecy, then, will become unnecessary when the Bible is completed. And frankly, beloved, we're blessed today to have the completed Word of God. So the great need today is not to hear some new revelation by some so-called preacher or prophet, but to have preachers and teachers expound on the completed, finished revelation of God. So Paul is going to charge Pastor Timothy to preach the Word, not come up with some new word. Beloved, we're not waiting to be given new revelation as the biblical prophets did. We are to proclaim God's Word that has been given. The book of Revelation doesn't end with a comma. It ends with a period. And any religion, any so-called prophet today that tells you that they have another gospel, a new revelation, another testament from God, well, you need to lace up your shoes and run. They're a danger to you. You see, we're not waiting for God to speak. We've been told to teach what God has already said. Now here in verse 7, Paul gives us the next gifts. He writes, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches, in his teaching. The Greek word translated service here is from diakonia, from which we get our word deacon. It simply means servant or serving others. And let me tell you, people willing to serve in many different ways are the heartbeat, the muscle of ministry today. What about the gift, he says here, of teaching? Well, a gifted teacher has the ability to make God's Word understandable. That means a teacher has to learn what God's Word means first. So a teacher is really a lifelong learner. As I tell my seminary students who are preparing for the ministry, the office of pastor teacher demands many hours studying in private before they ever get up to preach for an hour or so in public. So I remind them the call to pastor is a call to obscurity, a call to quiet hours in the study in the Word of God. Now, this gift of teaching can be one-on-one. The word he's using here could be teaching truth from God's Word to a larger group. It could take place in your office, your shop. It could be with coworkers in the morning in a Bible study. When somebody wants your opinion on some current event and you interpret that event in light of biblical truth, guess what? You just became a teacher. Has it ever occurred to you that teaching is the mandate of Christ to the church? We are to go and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. So teaching isn't an option for the church. Teachers who teach God's Word shouldn't be the exception in the church. But I'm afraid there are many churches today where teaching is the exception and not the rule. Now, Paul introduces the spiritual gift of exhortation here in verse 8. He writes, the one who exhorts in his exhortation. This original word is parakaleo. It means to call alongside or to come alongside someone. This word is used of the Holy Spirit, the parakletos, same word, who comes alongside to encourage us along the way. You know, if you've made a campfire, you know the importance of that poker, that stick, or that steel rod. And from time to time, you use that poker to stir up the embers. And what happens? Well, they come back into, they burst back into flame. Well, that's the ministry of exhortation. Now, here in verse 8, we have three final gifts that immediately stand out because Paul describes how they should be exercised. He writes here, the one who contributes is to do so in generosity. Well, this is the gift of giving. Now, we all have a responsibility to give, but these people are quick to offer anything that might be useful to the Lord. I remember one Sunday morning when my younger brother Timothy was about 5 years old. As the offering plate came by us, little Timmy took off his necktie and he put it in the offering plate. And we whispered, you know, what are you doing? Well, he whispered back, the pastor said we're to give our tithes and offerings. Well, Timothy actually grew up to become an eager giver a contributor to the Lord. That was his heart gift. Well, now here in verse 8, we have the gift of leadership. Paul writes it here this way: the one who leads should do so with zeal. So people with this gift aren't talked into taking a leadership role in the church. They're ready. They're eager to serve, to lead. The word here translated lead can be rendered manage or manages. It appears over in 1 Timothy chapter 3 as one of the qualifications for elders and deacons who are to manage or lead their households well and the local church as well. Well, finally, Paul lists here the spiritual gift of mercy, writing, "The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." One Bible scholar defined mercy simply as the gift of sympathy, a gift that opens the heart of the one who is suffering. Isn't it interesting that Paul urges the one who does acts of mercy to do so with cheerfulness? Well, you'd think he would, or she would. Well, I think he says this because showing mercy isn't always going to get you a thank you card. You might be tempted to lose your cheerful spirit. Well, remember, you're serving Christ above all. And with all of these gifts, remember, you're ultimately serving your Lord. Well, until we set sail again, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Wasn't that encouraging? Being a charismatic Christian isn't about being showy. It's about serving God and others with the unique gift He's given you. Maybe you're gifted at teaching, encouraging others, giving generously, or showing mercy. Those are all ways to use your God-given charisma. Remember, every believer is gifted, and the church needs every single one of us doing our part. This is the Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. If you'd like to go deeper into your study of the book of Romans, Stephen has a series of full-length sermons through that book. In that series, he teaches verse by verse through Romans and spends more time than with these lessons. Visit wisdomonline.org/Romans to access all of that content. That's wisdomonline.org/Romans. Do that today, then join us back here next time to continue traveling through God's Word on the Wisdom Journey.